Okay, great. All right, super. All right, we're all set. So how are we doing, gang? We got a couple of minutes before our call officially starts, but how is everybody doing?
Great.
Great. Just good, good. We got a couple of people that everybody else is going to be a voyeur. All right. That's fine. All right. Let me see here. So who had something good happen in the last 30 days?
I did.
All right. Well, who's I?
I am Jill in Chile, Southern California. Took a listing, double-ended it in 3 days.
Whoa, that's awesome, Jill.
Happy New Year to me.
When did you do this?
I said, Happy New Year to me.
Yeah, no, I said, I'm sorry. I said, when did you do this? What day was that?
Interviewed right around Thanksgiving. The customer made the decision around the 5th of December. Did a good write-up, good pictures, hit the MLS, started getting showings. An internet lead came in. I called him within 30 seconds. He met me at the property. We wrote it up.
Wow, that's awesome. Very cool. Well, congratulations with that. I think that's awesome. So you must be very excited, yes?
I am. We were going to close probably next week, so it's a good way to kick off the year.
Wow, that's how much was the price of the house?
$435.
Wow, that's definitely a Happy New Year and Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and maybe even Happy Kiwanis.
Exactly. How were your holidays? Were you good?
Well, Jill, thanks for asking. My holidays were great. So it was very low key this year. Usually I make a whole big thing of it, and this year it was just me and the family. We did have some other guests come over, but it was really nice. So thank you.
No, that's great.
All right, so let's get this party started. I hear people calling in, and and it's now 11 o'clock. So actually, let's give it just another 60 seconds because there's so many people I hear calling in, and I want to make sure they hear it from the beginning. While we're waiting for a minute here, did anybody else have anything great happen during the holidays? Whether it's business or personal? So everybody's going to just listen and not participate. Is that the deal?
They're still recovering.
They're still recovering. That's right. Well, let me do this. I'm going to just mute this call now. Hang on one second. Wow, we have a lot of people calling in. Hang on. Okay, so great. So first of all, welcome everybody. Happy New Year. Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. All whatever your faith is. Here it is, January 2nd. I'm really excited to be here with you to kick off 2015. You know, the great thing about the New Year's is that it's a way for us to let go of the past and start off fresh. Now, when you think about it, we can do that every day in our lives. You know, one of the things that holds us back from achieving our next level is when we keep looking in the past on the things that we did that we think we should have done better, look at the things that we didn't do, beat ourselves up. And the more we look at the past and judge ourselves and critique ourselves, which, by the way, we're probably the hardest judges of everybody in our life, the more we do that, the more it just becomes a real big anchor, and we can't move forward. You know, the analogy I like to use is you can't drive a car staring in your rear view mirror. You're going to crash. And as a matter of fact, when you think about driving a car, you don't look just 1 or 2 feet in front of the hood of the car. You actually have to look several car lengths ahead of you to make sure that you are going in the right direction, you are being safe, and that's the same as in life, that as we look to 2015, what we want to do is not look just what's right in front of us, one or two feet, but look down the road to see what is it that we're committed to accomplishing, where we want to get going, right? So, you know, part of what you should be doing, if you haven't already done this, is to get clear about what 2015 is going to look like for you. Now, before you do that, let me just go back to what I was saying a moment ago. is you need to let go of any mistakes, any baggage, anything that you are not happy with about your life. You know, when you go to the airline and you go to the ticket counter, and if you have, you know, a lot of bags to check in, every bag that you have is going to cost you more and more money that you've got to pay to that airline. And so is it in life, that if we are holding on to any kind of baggage about things that we could have done better, mistakes that we made, that costs us. And what it costs us is our full self-expression, our enthusiasm, and living from a place of possibility. You know, part of 2015, for you to have this be a breakthrough year from you, you have to come from the state of anything is possible. You know, like it's a blank canvas, that nothing exists yet for you. Therefore, you can create and invent anything you want. Now, you cannot create anything you want. You can't have this blank canvas if you're already filling up the canvas with yesterday's mistakes. So that's why letting go of the past is so important, because it lightens the load for you. When you lighten the load, you let it go, now you have nothing but pure possibility in front of you. And by the way, I want to say one more thing on that. Most of you on this call, if you've been, you know, if you've been in real estate, now if you're a new agent, you can definitely relate to this, but everybody else, if we've been in real estate for a pretty long amount of time, if you can remember what it was like for you when you first got into real estate, you know, when you were first getting your license, I'm going to suggest that perhaps you were pretty darn excited about the possibilities that laid in front of you. You know, you didn't look to the past. You were all about the possibilities of tomorrow in being a real estate agent. You were really living from the future of what real estate can do for you. And so it's real important as an experienced agent that we get back in touch with that enthusiasm. If you ask me what sources an agent's enthusiasm, a new agent, is that they come from not knowing. They see real estate as this open canvas to do anything, and they can achieve anything that they want. The other thing that new agents that source that enthusiasm is they come from also this commitment to a question, and it's the commitment to the question that actually empowers that enthusiasm. And that question is, so I want you to get ready, because I'm going to give you like the secret to being enthusiastic, is the commitment to the question is, how do I play this game called real estate? You know, they really don't come from knowing. They don't come from baggage. They don't come from concerns. They come from this, like, all right, how do I play real estate? How do I do this? And it's that commitment to that inquiry on how to play the game called real estate is that sources that enthusiasm. One of the drawbacks that we have as experienced agents is we think we already know the answer to that. We think we already know what works and what doesn't work. We already know, you know, how to list and sell. And sometimes in knowing, it actually kills off possibility. So part of going into 2015, for you to be enthusiastic and passionate about your career, is number one, let go of the baggage. Number two, be committed to the question, how do I bring my business to the next level? How can I master real estate? You know, real estate is kind of like it's an art form. You know, it's not very scientific. You and I both know that. You know, you're not paid a paycheck, right? So you're going to be paid based on what you generate, and what you generate is based on what you do each and every day. So if you choose to not work, or if you choose to wake up and do something other than the highest priority activity, well, you're going to get certain results, and the results may not be consistent with what you're committed to accomplishing. So get clear about 2015, get excited, be committed to mastering it. And what I want to say about mastery, it's kind of like black belt, although I only took karate when I was really young, like most children do when their parents stick them into a karate class. But I remember something that teacher said to me, which was that I'm sorry. Hang on one second. I'll make sure we're still on the call here. Hang on, gang. I just I want to make sure we're all still here. Yes, okay. Karate, I heard the teacher say that when you become a black belt is actually not an end destination, but it's a place that you live from. That people who are in the martial arts and when they get to this level of black belt, they're really committed to mastery. That it's not an end result, but it's a way of being. So the same is true in real estate, that if you be committed to mastering it, not like it's a destination, but it's a way of you looking at your business and how you do what you do and how to fix the little nuances. You know, gang, I got to say, it's very similar to what I do in seminars. You know, each and every one of us on this call, part of what we do is we're committed to having conversations with people to move people to making a decision. You know, for you, you are committed to having a conversation with a seller to move them to make the decision to hire you or to hire a realtor as opposed to being a FSBO. Or you might have be committed to having a conversation with a buyer about why now is a good time to buy real estate and why this house is the one that they like. Instead of waiting for something better to come out, they should pull the trigger. And you do that in a conversation. When you're negotiating an offer, it's through a conversation to move people, to bring them together. Well, I have conversations with you or with audiences on how to move them to take action in their life. So we're all, every one of us on this call, you and I, are committed to mastering communication in such a way that moves people to take action. Now, I am constantly looking at the words that I use in my seminars. Every time I've been doing seminars for 25 years, and every seminar I get off the stage, I still critique myself and say, what can I have said differently or better to move people? I'll even watch other speakers when I can on my computer to look at the dialogue that they're delivering a particular distinction so I can get better at communicating to move people in my seminar. So my point is that you don't ever get to this level where you've stopped learning. Being committed to mastering is about fine-tuning and always looking at those little nuances to make you better. Now, this is also important because I know for some of you is that why you beat yourself up is because if you didn't get a listing appointment, you get a listing appointment and you don't get the listing, or something doesn't turn out the way that you do, that you want, I mean, that you beat yourself up. So part of 2015, I think what's real important is stop beating yourself up. Now, not everybody needed to hear that, but somebody needed to hear that. You know, part of your commitment in 2015 is to stop beating yourself up. Because every time you beat yourself up, you're living in your past experience, and it's not moving you forward. We're either living from our future or we're living from our past. So be more forgiving. Okay, now, that is how I wanted to kick off our call. But let me now just do a little bit of logistics right now because we have a bunch of new people on the call. I want to welcome all of the power agents that are on the call, especially our new folks where it's your first time. I know for some of you, you're calling at different parts of the world and you're calling in at different hours, and I thank you for that. If our technology is working, because there was a little question about it this morning, we should be recording this call. And so therefore, at the end of the call, by next week, we'll post this recording on the website, the Power Program website. Now, during this call, I may be referencing the Power Program website. If you're not in front of a computer, you don't have a username or password, you know, just make some notes and go to the computer later on. For those of you, again, first time, this is just a teleseminar, but I think next month our plan is to move to a webinar, which means that you'll be able to actually see some of the things that I have on the screen, and I'll be going over some stuff with you that way. If you're not able to be on the webinar, you can still call in and hear it just like you're listening to it now. Now, part of what we're going to do during this call is I want to go over the magazine with you, even though visually we can't see the magazine. For those of you that are not in front of your computer, those of you who are, you'll follow along with me. The other thing I want to do is actually give you guys some coaching. That's another part of the call. And then the third thing is, if we have some time, is I want to tell you what I think you should be doing in the next 30 days. Now, what I like to do before I do anything else is I like to actually see who needs some coaching. Now, if you want to talk to me during this call, here's how you do this, is if you hit *6 on your keypad, and you just do it one time, and if you give it a second, it will unmute you, so that way I can hear you. So right now I'm going to open up the call to anybody that needs anything coached, that you need any coaching on anything specific, whether it's in your business life, your real estate, your personal life. So we're going to open up the call now, and hopefully no one is shy, because otherwise it's going to be a short call. And actually, this is your opportunity to get some one-on-one coaching with me. Now, I always tell people, we have so many people right now on the call, and it always amazes me that people don't, you know, part of success in real estate or in anything for that matter is when you have an opportunity, you should jump at it. You know, don't think too much. Sometimes when we think too much, we get in our own way. So this is now an opportunity you have. You got to decide whether you're going to accept it or not to ask me anything that you need help with. So hit *6 on your keypad. It'll take just about 10 seconds to unmute you, and I will be able to hear you. So who has a question that you want me to help you with? And I'll just give it a little time here to see if anybody wants to jump in. Anybody have anything that you need help with? Do you see how people, this is an opportunity. Okay. Well, on that case, being that we have, yeah, hello, somebody there?
Hey, how we doing?
Good. Who's this?
Hi. My name's Andre from Orlando, Florida.
Okay, hold on. So we have two people. Thank you. Both of you stay right where you are. The okay. First was a gentleman. I'm sorry. What was your name?
Yes, my name's Andre from Orlando.
Hey, Andre. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. This is kind of a broad question for you, but I'm 21 years old. I get my real estate license in 2 weeks. And a quick, thing, if you could say, the number one thing I should be looking towards or focusing on to becoming a great agent?
So, Andre, that's a great question. And this question will not just apply to you, Andre. It'll apply to everybody on the call. And that is the number one thing for an agent to be successful is to have a lot of listings in their inventory. So let's just look at real estate for a second, okay? There's because one of the things that I know, Andre, is it can be very confusing. Like every morning you wake up, and I'm not just talking to you, Andre. This is true for even experienced agents. Because we don't have a job to do things where people are telling us what to do, we have to be the boss of ourselves, right? And so we have to decide every morning when we wake up, what is the highest priority activity that I should be doing today? And real estate can be very confusing and overwhelming because there's so many different things that we can do. You know, there's showing some property and learning this technique and putting our books together and cleaning our desk, and then we have, you know, our files, and we have our personal life and our family life, and so it can be very overwhelming as to what is the highest priority activity or what should we be doing. Now, Andre, the most important thing that people can do is also the hardest thing to do, which is what most people will put at the bottom of the list, and that is prospecting.
Okay.
All right, so we make money in real estate two areas. It's working with buyers and working with sellers. Now, I've talked about this. Andre, were you at my seminar when I was there in Florida?
I was not.
Okay. So I talk about this, and I'll do it real quick because a lot of people on the call who have been with me before should know this analogy. But I'm going to do it real quick with you, Andre. If let's say you wanted to sell shoes for a living, you can do it one of two ways, Andre. You can go get a store, get some shoes, get them wholesale, get racks. Open up your store, promote your store, and have buyers come to your store to buy your shoes. Are you with me, Andre?
Right, yes, sir.
Here's the other way. You can go find a buyer who wants to buy a pair of shoes, Andre, stick them in your car, and then drive them from shoe store to shoe store to shoe store. Now, Andre, which is better, you putting the buyer in your car and bringing them to shoe stores or having the shoe store with the shoes? Which is better?
Having the shoe store with the shoes.
Yeah, so That's in real estate, our shoes are the listings. If you have no listings, you have no shoe store. And every right. time you take a buyer and you put them in your car and you're showing property, you're literally bringing them to another agent's shoe store, working for that agent as an employee trying to sell their inventory. Are you hearing me?
I got you.
Do you see how important this is to get listings?
Yes, sir, absolutely. I understand fully. Got you.
All right, good. Now, so in getting listings, and we're going to talk about this, and as a matter of fact, there's another question I got from somebody through the Power Program website. The name is Costas. I don't know if Costas is on the call right now, but she asked a similar question, Andre, or he. I'm not sure if it's a he or she. I'm a new agent. What do you suggest I should look at in terms of lead generation and other areas I can implement right away in the field as far as the resources we have in the Power Program membership? So there's some things on the website, Andre, that will help you in doing this. So I'm answering your question and Costa's question, and everybody else needs to hear what I'm saying. Part of the success in 2015 is however many listings that you all got last year, you have to increase it this year. If you want to increase your income, increase your listing inventory. In other words, get a bigger shoe store. Now, for Andre, for you as a new agent, you don't have a shoe store, so that's got to be your first priority.
Right.
Now, one of the things I'm going to tell you, Andre, the mistake that new agents make, is that they say, let me just show some property, learn real estate, and they never go back to listing and selling, listing real estate, which is where your priority should be. My opinion, Andre, is that you should not really be showing any buyers any houses until you got your six listings. Like your focus, Andre, your focus should be, I'm not taking buyers out, I'm not showing property until I've gotten six of my own listings. Now, if you do that, you will be a very smart man because you will not be distracted by the other parts of this business. If you want to look at it, you can take real estate and break it up into two parts. There's the buyer side and there's the listing side, okay? And if you don't spend any time on the buyer side, now that gives you more energy, more focus to go get your listings. Now, how do you get your listings? What do you need to do? Everybody, even if you're an experienced agent, here's what we should be doing. Number one is you need to actually have a good listing conversation, something that you feel good about to communicate to a seller. Because if you don't feel comfortable having a listing conversation with another homeowner, it's going to impede you in wanting to pick up the phone and make calls. So if you have a really good listing appointment that you feel comfortable with, it's almost like you want to go make the calls so you can go share this valuable information that you put together. Is this making sense so far?
Yes, sir. Sure is.
Now, Andre, what you can do to put together a listing, I can do a whole webinar just on that, which I'm not going to. So I'm going to give you just broad strokes right now because, you know, we have less than an hour. The first thing you should do is put together a strong listing appointment. And how you can do that is go talk to some other agents in the office, talk to your broker, your manager, look at what other agents are using. That's number one. Number two is ask experienced agents who go on listings, that are good on a listing appointment, and see what they do. Now, Andre, be careful because most agents don't do good listing conversations. So I don't want you to go and say, okay, that's what it's supposed to look like. Like if you see something that doesn't make sense to you and you think you can do it better, trust that because, like I said, most agents are not strong on a listing, and as a new agent, you may have a different perspective and you can improve upon it. Now, if you go with a successful agent, you watch what they do, then I would take more credence on that. Like I would pay more attention to what they're doing. But one thing I will warn you, Andre, is that if you go on a listing appointment with a top agent in the office, top agents' listing appointments are different than the average agent. And here's what I mean. A top agent that has name recognition in the marketplace, them walking into a listing appointment, there's a good chance that homeowner may have been referred to them, or they've heard their name before, so they are less violence, not the word I want to use. The homeowner is more open to hearing the agent because of what I just said. So you got to be careful not to model exactly what, like, the number one or two agent in your office does, because that's a little bit different than the average agent. The next thing is, do you have any questions so far, Andre?
No, I don't. Thank you.
By the way, if any of you on this call who are experienced, if you're listening like, well, this what Daryl's saying right now doesn't apply to me because he's talking to Andre, who's not even licensed yet, that's a big mistake, because, like I said at the very beginning of this call, is that you have to come from this commitment to mastering real estate, and you should, unless you're a top listing agent, you really should be listening to think, how can I apply what Daryl's sharing right now that's going to help me? And I think every one of us on this call needs to improve our listing appointment and feel passionate about what we're saying. And here's something else, too, that's real important. I think I might have said this on last month's call, and even if I did, it so warrants me to repeat this. Is I'm going to tell you what the right listing appointment is, because I know for some of you, you are sharing pages in a listing book, or you're using a laptop or an iPad, and you're talking about stuff that you're not very excited about, but that's what you were told to share. Maybe you learned it in new agent training, or you saw another agent use it. Let me tell you something. If you were really to go on a listing appointment and explain everything that we do as listing agents, you would probably need hours with that homeowner to explain everything. Well, so you're not going to do that, right? That doesn't make sense. So if you're only going to have 30 minutes to an hour to talk to the homeowner about what you can do to help them in selling their house, what are you going to share for 30 minutes to an hour? And here's the answer. Whatever you're passionate about sharing, because people do not list with the pages. They don't listen with what you say. People list with people. And if you're not belly-to-belly in front of that homeowner passionately communicating what you believe about what you can do to help serve them, they're not going to list with you. So it's more important that not what you say, but how you say it. So what I recommend everybody does is that you look at what do you do for a homeowner. Make a list. And make a list of the things that you're most passionate about. Let me give you, for instance, when I went on listing appointments, Andre, you're still with me, yes?
I am, Mr. Darrell.
All right. When I went on listing appointments, most of my business, and I think most of you know this on this call, is I listed FSBOs and expireds. I didn't work referral business because back in my day as an agent, which was a long time ago, we didn't have the technology we have today, so referral business was actually harder to work. Because, again, we didn't have technology, social media, to stay in touch with past clients as easily as we do now. It was a lot easier to open up the newspaper and call a FSBO or go to the MLS and find expireds. I mean, it was just so much easier. So when I went into a listing appointment with FSBOs, those are the hardest we all know in our business. Now, it was not uncommon for me that I would only share just a few things, and the homeowner would stop me and say, you know what, we're ready, just let's fill out the paperwork. I didn't go through like 20 different marketing tools, brokers open house, public open house, lockbox, key, yard sign, feature sheets, flyers, mailings. I didn't have to go through all that because by the time I was done with usually my third marketing tool, they were like, shit, I'm sorry, but they were like, you know, come on, let's just go with this guy because he's obviously passionate about what he's talking about. And one of the things I was always very passionate about was brokers open houses, because in my and public open houses, those two things, my company, I felt like we did it better than nobody else. There was no other agency in my market that did brokers open house, public open house the way we did. And I believed it. And so because I was passionate, because I believed in it, people listed with me because of that. So, gang, as you're fine-tuning your listing appointment, because part of your plan in 2015 in the next 30 days is you should be really focused on building your listing inventory. Heck, we should have been doing that in December. We're already a month late. It's not too late, but, you know, I don't want you to go another month. Your focus in January should be to list as much as you can. Get whatever you think you can do, whatever you did last year. Look at what you did last year. If you only got one or two listings, bump it up this month. Get three or four. Have that be each. Do not be distracted by too much in January except for this. And part of what it should be is look at what can you be passionate about talking about on a listing appointment. All right, Andre, I'm not finished with you yet.
All right.
So stay right there. But who was the other person on the call? We had a lady that was on the call. Who is that?
Daryl, it's Meryl from Bayside. How are you?
Meryl, how are you?
Good, good. I have one question, and I thought you were the perfect person to ask. As you know, the most expired seem to be at the very end of December and beginning of January. And I just wanted to know, in your opinion, of all the different, you know, modes of operation to go after them, what do you think is the best way to, you know, contact as many as you can?
All right, great question, Meryl. And actually, that helps Andre. It helps Costas. The other, it's all about prospecting for listings. And so that was perfect, Meryl.
Thank you.
So, yeah, all right. So, but your question specifically is on the expired. So you are right. For everybody that didn't hear what Meryl said, which was really awesome, is that most expireds happen either at the, there's three dates. There is the first, the 15th, and the last day of the month, 30/31. Because most of us, when we're filling out listing forms, we always round off the expiration date. So Meryl was right. December 31st, January 1st, we probably had the largest amount of expireds come to our markets than any other time of year. There will be another surge, Meryl, and that's January 15th.
Okay.
So what is the best way to do it? Well, there's three ways, okay? My preference, number one, always, is using the telephone. Now, I know, Meryl, that some of those you can't find the phone numbers, and I'll cover that in a second. But let me stick with the phone call first, and then I'll cover the other two. To help you get the phone numbers, there's two ways to do that. Obviously, you can try and find it on the Internet using White Pages or 411.com, something like that, which is kind of tedious. I think, what's that other one? Kohl's Directory. Kohl's Directory is online. And so that's one way to find the homeowner's phone number. The other way, which is I'm a fan of, is that's Red X. And for those of you that don't know Red X, I will give you the website and I'll give you the code. You'll save a lot of money. It's Andre, pay attention to this. It is darrylspecial.com, darrylspecial.com. And the code, there's a code to waive the first 30 days and to waive the setup fee, which saves you like $250. That code is SMILE. So if you go to darrylspecial.com, type in the word SMILE, you'll get Red X first 30 days free, and then after that it's $110 a month. Any of you not using Red X that really would help you the beginning of the year, you should start using it now. Okay. That's the first thing. That will help you find the phone numbers, Meryl, for expireds, plus you do it yourself. Okay. That's one option.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, one other thing, Meryl, is if you, when you go to the Power Program website, and you use your username and password, under the word classroom, there's so many bonuses and great things there for you. And one of them, there's a category called dialogues. And you'll see the expired dialogue. It's a PDF. So when you click on that file, you'll see the dialogue for calling expireds, okay?
Okay.
All right. So that's the first thing. Give me a second as I'm thinking through the answer. Okay, expired, the dialogue. Okay, next thing. The second option, what you can do, is mail the expired letters. Now, the reason why I would only go to the letters, Meryl, if you can't get a hold of them on the phone. And actually, let me put it in order of preference, okay? My first preference is call. The second preference is not the letters. That's the third one, and I'll talk about that in a second. The second one is just going to their house, just knocking on their door.
Mm-hmm.
And knocking on their door, there's a couple of different ways. There's no right way in doing it, Meryl, so it has to be based on your style. But I'll give you some suggestions. Number one is when you knock on their door, I'd say, hi, my name is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. The reason why I'm stopping by is I noticed that where I was going through our inventory on MLS, and I noticed your house expired, and I was wondering, is the house still for sale? That's all. Now, if they say, yes, it is, I would ask them, did you put it back on the multiple listing or not? And they'll say whatever they say. If they say, no, the house is not for sale anymore, you got to clarify, oh, did it sell or did you take it off the market? If they say that they sold it, you just want to clarify, is it currently in contract? Because for some homeowners, as you know, if they have a buyer who's interested, in their mind, it's sold, right? So that's a simple dialogue that I would start off the conversation with. And while you're on their stoop having this conversation, Merrill, I would ask them, do you mind if I ask you how, when, or where were you guys planning on going? You know, because I'm really interested in the property. From everything that I saw, it looks really nice on the MLS. Do you have any thoughts as to why you think it didn't sell? And at some point when you feel like you've built some rapport with them, then I would ask, would you be offended if I came by to take, I mean, if I came through the house to just see the inside? I would love to see it and see what you have. And so I would, you know, try and get in the door that way. Now, Merrill, there's two other things about the door knocking piece. Number one is, it's also good if you have some kind of report or something of value that you can give the homeowner, okay? So that way, you can lead with that as a gift. You can, if they want to slam the door in your face, not really. I don't think a homeowner would really do that. But if they wanted to, get rid of you nicely, then maybe you'd say, well, here, let me just give you this gift before, that might help you in selling your house. So if you have bearing gift of some kind, whether it's a report, whether it's a checklist, whether it's a form, that might be valuable, and I have some suggestions on that in a second. The other thing, Merrill, is if you do get in the door, if they do let you in, this is very important, most likely only one homeowner will be there and not the other. If that's the case, you do not want to do a listing presentation, because once you do it, you've only got one shot. So if you do a quick listing presentation, you talk about commission, you talk about what you do, blah, 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 you won't ever get back in to sit down and have the more formal conversation with both Mr. and Mrs. Does that make sense what I'm saying, Merrill?
It does.
So what you want to do then is, if you do get in the door and both homeowners are not home, or they both are and they're in the middle of dinner and they're not ready to talk to you, all you want to accomplish is look at the house and build really strong rapport with them, and maybe if you can, even tease them. Tease them with, yeah, this is a really nice house. You know, my company is really strong at getting properties moved like this. I think we probably can help you. I have some thoughts and ideas of maybe why it didn't sell before, but you know what? I don't want to take your time now. I would love the opportunity to come back and share with you our seller success system that we have to help homeowners to get the property sold, because now is really a great time. Most homeowners, January is just the best time to revisit putting a house on the market, something like that. You want to sell the homeowner on you coming back, Merrill. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the bearing gifts piece, one of the things that you can do, I'm just going to give you a couple of suggestions. In this month's magazine, there's a bunch of visuals that you can use. If you look, Merrill, in other magazines and other months, last month, the month before, there's usually stuff in there that you can print out and customize or just use it the way it is on a listing appointment. So, for example, on page 18, there is a flyer that this agent created, Lori, which was, it says, attention realtors, please take one of these flyers in writing your contract. Now, what it had was a list of what's included, exclusions, how much money they're looking for, deposit, preferred closing date. Like, there's things that the listing agent put together on a one-page flyer that a selling agent can use in helping sell the property and communicating with the buyer. So it wasn't a flyer about the house, like what's, you know, bedrooms, baths, square footage. No, no. It was more about bullet points that you might need in order to write a contract. Am I making sense here, Meryl?
Yes, it sounds very useful.
Yeah. So page 18 is you can show a homeowner, let's say that's one of the gifts you want to use. You'd say, well, I just want to stop by, say hello, see if the house is still available, and I have a couple of gifts here for you. One of the things I have for my clients is we create this bullet sheet to help when you're working with another agent what it is that you expect, and plus things that they need to put a contract together. This is just a sample, so I'm giving you this so you can maybe create your own. On page 20, Meryl, in this month's magazine, there is a children's listing agreement. So when a family has children, the actual child would actually sign, it's obviously not a real listing agreement, but they would sign this dummy listing agreement. And I'll just read you a couple of bullets. It says, I know that our parents have asked Jan to sell our house. I'm going to be on Jan's team, too. I'm going to help sell the house by making my bed in the morning, picking up my toys, turning on the lights when people come to see it. Now, it's a really cute icebreaker. It's a cute thing to use on a listing appointment. It's a cute gift to show a homeowner if they have children that, you know, part of, you know, selling a house can be emotional for children because there's a lot of questions about where am I going? Am I going to like my new home as much as possible? So what we find is actually helping the child, like, be an assistant realtor, that they get excited about the process of selling the house. They're more engaged with it. It distracts them from the anxiety of what might be involved in moving to a new home. So I'll give you that as a sample that you maybe can use with your child. So anyway, that's just a couple examples. Meryl, if you go through this month's magazine, oh, here's one of my favorites. On page 25, there is how to prepare. This is awesome, this one. How to prepare for a showing in 10 minutes or less. And it has 10 bullets. Put the dishes in the dishwasher. Make the beds, wipe the counters, empty the garbage, hide dirty clothes, take a deep breath, run the vacuum real quick. So it's 10 things that you can do in 10 minutes or less to just get for a quick showing last minute. That's a great flyer to, once again, to use as a gift when you go door-to-door on an expired. It's also a great flyer to put in your listing book to show as homeowner. This is one of the things that I give to my clients. Here, let me just give this to you now. So you can use it on a listing point. You can use it as a, I think the word is Brian call it, a stop-by or something like that. So anyway.
And also a little icebreaker kind of thing.
Yes. Listen, Meryl, there's some. These things, this is why, Meryl, there's no right listing appointment, okay? It's whatever, like you see, for me, I just get so tickled about this flyer. It's a stupid little thing. But because I'm so tickled, if I were on a listing appointment, I'd say, listen, let me give you some gifts that I give to my clients. I'm going to give this to you. I'm not saying you're going to hire me. Even if you don't, I just want to give you this because it really helps you. You know, and yeah. You're right, Meryl. It's a great icebreaker, and it makes the listing appointment fun. We should have fun on our listing appointments. We put too much stress on ourselves in trying to get the listing and close people. No one wants to be – listen, you know what? No one likes to be closed. The homeowner doesn't like to be closed, and the agent doesn't like closing. So
right.
Right? Let's just go have a conversation, have fun with people, be passionate about what we're talking about, and hopefully they'll make a wise decision to hire you. And if they don't, well, at least you had fun in communicating what you bring to the table for homeowners. Yeah. All right.
Right.
Now. All right. Good, Meryl.
Thank you.
Yeah, wait, I'm not done with you, and you're welcome.
Oh, okay.
I told you there's three things, right? There's number one, calling, number two, door knocking, the expired, and the third one is sending these letters out. Now, the reason why I'm not a fan of the letters is because it's the longest of the three options, meaning if you have an expired and you mail them a letter, and you should mail letters every day to an expired, because there's not going to be a lot of them. So if, let's say, in a two-week period, that's all the letters I have. They're about 2 weeks. If they don't call you after 14 letters, they ain't ever calling you, right?
That's true.
And the reason why I would say mail them every day is because there's a good chance that that expired is going to wind up either taking it off the market or listing within those 14 days. And so as a matter of fact, I would say it's even less. I'd say that once an house expires, if they don't list it within 7 days, they're probably just going to take it off the market. So, Merrill, there's two places that I have letters for you to mail to expires. Once again, if you log in to the Power Program website, and after you put your username and password, under Classroom is where most of all the great things are. So Classroom, there's a category, it's called Letters, and you'll see it. It says expired letter number one, expired letter number two. So there's a whole series of expired letters. Now, I came across some other expired letters that I don't believe are here. They may be. There may be some duplicates. I'm not sure because I did this really quick for you guys this month. In this month's magazine, so, you know, the advantage to the letters on the website, you know, some of them are in Word format, and so it'll be a lot easier. But on page 29 in this month's magazine, Merrill, page 30, 31, 32, 33, hang on, 35. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's another 5 letters in addition to the letter in this month's magazine, in addition to the letters that are already uploaded on the website. So that's your third option. Unfortunately, I apologize, the magazine one, you'd have to retype it. But I did it last minute for you guys, but that's my gift to you. All right. So, Merrill, do you have any questions? Did that help you?
No, that was fantastic answer and great pointers. Thank you.
You're so welcome, Merrill. Okay, great. Now, Andre, are you still with me?
Yes. I'm still here. Yes, okay. Sir.
All right, listen. Now, Andre, the last thing I want to say to you about this is about you prospecting, building your listing inventory, is you should have gotten a lot of value from Merrill.
Wonderful.
All right, awesome. So you got the expired piece. The other piece is the FSBO piece. Now, the FSBOs is the most unutilized area because, Andre, most agents, they don't have fear. Fear has them when it comes to calling FSBOs. Now, you can also, I gave you that website to the Red X, darylspecial.com. They help you find the FSBOs. They reverse it for you. They find the expired. That, to me, is the best system out there, so I recommend that you sign up on that. That's the first thing. The dialogue for calling FSBOs, Andre, is also on that website, the Power Program website, under Classroom. So it says expired dialogue. It says FSBO dialogue. Now, the third thing, Andre, and I guess everybody else, and at the risk of sounding like I'm selling because I'm not, under that word classroom, there is another link. It says Power Agent Learning Specials. Now, what Power Agent Learning Special is, when you click on that, Andre, you're going to see a whole bunch of audio CDs, all right?
Okay.
And one of the audio CDs that I'm going to recommend to you, it's called the FSBO and Expired Mastery. Now, all of these CDs, you as a student, all the power agents get a 50% discount on everything. And so that one is available instead of $200, it's $100. It's actually $97 for that CD, and that goes through actual dialogue. And that's something that you can listen to over and over again. So that's my suggestion. Let me see what else I have for you. Oh, shoot, there's something else. Okay, and this is for everybody on the call. If you look at also at the same place called Classroom, there is a bunch of visuals. It's called Visuals for Sellers. And you're going to see things, Andre, like why homeowners don't save money selling on their own. There is the USA Today article. There is the For Sale by Owner CEO who tried selling it on his own. 100 right. Reasons to Work with an Agent. There's a ton of visuals that will help you in putting together your listing book. And one of the things there, too, it says the listing conversation slides. Listing conversation slides. That is also on under Visuals for Sellers. And when you click on that, it's a PowerPoint, which I put together this rough PowerPoint slide. Like if you were gonna, like if you asked me, Daryl, how would I put together a listing appointment? Like what order should I have things, or what would you put in there? That's what I. It's really just a demo. It's a sample on how you might put together a listing book. But remember what I said, Andre. The best book is the one that you're passionate about when you're talking to a homeowner about what you do to get their property sold for the highest possible price. The last thing I'm going to say about the listing appointment is you should put together, and that, by the way, I'm going to, after I say what I'm about to say, I'm going to open up the call to anybody else that has a question. I'm just going to finish with Andre. Andre, to me, a listing appointment should be the first part is you talk about yourself. You have some credibility about yourself. Now, you're a new guy. You're not even licensed yet, but there are things you can put in there. You can put in there that once you do get licensed, you become a member of your board, you should have certificates. Here's right away, there's a certificate for you joining your local board of realtors. Then there's a certificate for the state board of realtors. Then there's a certificate for the National Association of Realtors. So there's three right there. Now, part of being a member of the National Association of Realtors, we also subscribe to a code of ethics. You should have a copy of the code of ethics and focus on that. Let's see. If you've taken any MLS training, you put that in there. So there's a lot of things that you'll have at your disposal. You're not going to talk about your year's experience. You're not going to talk about how many houses you sold or anything because you don't have it. So therefore, right. You would focus on the second section. So you do a little bit about you, about Realtor Code of Ethics, the State Association, blah, blah, and then you're going to move to the second section, which is about your company. Now, that's where you're going to focus more of your energy because there's more years there. So you'll talk about market share, your broker, how long the office has been there, the experience of the broker, how many agents, anything that adds credibility and success of your company. The third section you'll get into, how do you market property and what do you bring to the table? What does your company bring to the table? And that's when you talk about brokers, open house, public open house, yard sign, lockbox, any of that stuff that you feel passionate about. Okay, Andre, did this help you?
That was great, man. I really appreciate all the help. I'm going to implement
it
as I can out here.
Yeah, listen, please let me know how you're doing, all right? I want to hear that you're having some successes. Stay on these calls. Next month's call, you're going to have questions. Make sure you do, because as you can tell, most people are quiet on this call. We have so many people on this call, and usually only like a couple of people say anything. So you can get some one-on-one coaching, so be smart. Be on the next call, okay? And email me ahead of time. That's even better, okay, which you can get on the website too. All right, great.
Yes,
thank you, Andre.
Yes, sir, will.
Thank you, you're welcome, buddy. All right, does anybody else have any questions for me to help you in 2015? And let me help you for those who called in late. If you hit *6 on your keypad one time, it'll take about 5 seconds or 10 seconds, and then I'll be able to hear you. So you're muted right now. *6 one time will unmute you. Does anybody have a question? No, nobody? Okay. Well, then let me finish up the call with here's what I think you should do, some other tips, gang, on getting ready for 2015. So we already talked about putting together a good listing appointment. Do not make it perfect. Just put something together, fine-tune it, tweak it, clean it up. That's number one. Number two is focus on building. Is somebody on the call? Is somebody just unmute themselves?
Yes. Hi, Daryl. It's Marianne.
Who is this?
California.
It's Marianne.
Hey, Marianne, out in California. Marianne, you had to get up early for this call.
I know. That's why I was 5 minutes late to the call, so you might have already covered my question, so I hope I'm not having you to repeat something.
No, the first 10 minutes was more motivational, so you're cool. What do you got, Marianne? What's your question?
Well, when I tuned in, I heard you speaking with the young man that's just now getting licensed. He was saying what you should be concentrating on is getting listings. But I missed the part about what you do to get the listings. So, you know, I've been in the business about 3 years. I probably, like for the last 3 years, I'm only doing about 15 deals a year. And they're, I'd say 90% I'm dealing with buyers that I needed open houses. But I'd like to concentrate on listings, but I don't know the first thing to do. Like, so even in my own neighborhood, if I wanted to start working my own neighborhood, what would you say would be the top three things I should concentrate on this particular month to help me, one, get established in here, to start a regular routine so that people would know that I'm around and start to continue to think about me if and when they decided to make a move in real estate or they had a friend or family member that was thinking of, you know, making a move in real estate?
Yeah, great question. Hang on one second. I'm making notes here. Here's what I'm going to say, Marianne, is I'm going to answer your question, but I'm going to tell you some of what I would tell you I have already covered. So I'm not going to go over that again for everybody's benefit. But what we're going to do is this call is hopefully being recorded. I say that hopefully because we had a tech problem at the beginning, but I'm pretty sure we're okay. I'm going to post it on the website. You should listen to it when we're done, okay? Now, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's going to take a few days. It's going to take a few days for it to get up on the site, but okay. That's the first thing. But let me share with you some things that I did not share so everybody can get value. One of the things you need to do is focus on the concept of building inventory. So here's what I mean. A lot of us on this call, we know how important the listing inventory is. So just like Marianne, for you as an example, like you did 15 sales, 90% of them was of buyers. Now, if you wanted to double your sales, I know you could not physically double the number of buyers you're working with because there's just not enough time in a week. Am I correct?
Yes.
So if you did the same number of buyer sides this year than you did last year, so even if you did a little bit less, but you increase your inventory dramatically, that's how you double your income. So now we all know that, but the question is how do we stay focused on it? So one of the things that I think you should do is create a chart that keeps track of your current listings that are in your inventory. So like right now, how many listings do you have? Do you have any or is it zero?
I have zero.
Okay. So what you would do is you would take a chart and going from the bottom to the top over to the left side, you know, like one of those graphs, like a chart, like you see a stock chart, and you would have, you know, zero to, you know, 15. And then towards from left to right, you would have the months, January, February, March. So what you would do is every time you increase your listing inventory, you would track it out at the end of the month. So let's say by the end of January, you got two listings, you would graph it out, and the chart would go up. Just like a stock price goes up, that's what the chart would look like. Does this make sense so far?
Yes.
Now, the reason why I'm saying to do that, Marianne, is because as you start to do this, it's going to be easy to be frustrated and want to quit. So the chart helps you stay committed to what you know you should be doing. So that's the first thing. Have some external support to help you stay focused. That's number one. Number two is, as you're building your inventory in the neighborhood that you're going to go for, do not spend money you don't have. A mistake that agents will make is like, I want to farm this area, I want to own this area, I want people to think of me, when just everything that you said. So what they'll do is they'll go get a mailing list, they'll go do postcards and flyers and, you know, make pens up with their name on it and all this stuff. And all that's going to do is financially drain you, which is going to then add to the frustration of you getting inventory because now you're not getting listings quick enough. but yet you're spending money, so now you're losing money, and this sucks, and now you're going to say, I ain't doing this anymore. Are you feeling what I'm saying, Marianne?
Yes.
All right, so don't do that. So don't spend money you don't have. What I would do is, as I said earlier on this call, is I would call the neighborhood. Now, this is a little bit different. Like, you can call physicals and expireds. That already covered. But if you have a farm area that you want to master, then you can do one of two things. You can cold call these people. Now, you have to be, in this case, you've got to be careful the do not call list. The do not call list doesn't apply to physicals and expireds, but it does apply to people that aren't advertising. So you got to pay attention that you're not calling people who are on the do not call list. And you can simply say, hi, this is Marianne from Power Realty. The reason why I was calling is I work at the company here, and we're finding that there's a house that just came on the market in the area, because I'm sure there's a listing somewhere, Marianne, with another agency. You won't mention the name of the agency or the actual address, but you'll say, the reason why I'm calling is a new house came on the market in our neighborhood, and we're expecting a lot of buyer activity to come into this neighborhood, especially at the beginning of this year. And I just wanted to know, do you happen to know of anybody who's thinking about selling sometime in the near future? So, Marianne, the key there is you do not ask them, are they thinking of selling? You ask them, do they know of anybody else? Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why you want to do that, it's a less intrusive call, and also you're expanding people's thinking, because if they're not thinking of selling but they know of a neighbor, they'll say it. If they are thinking about it themselves, then they may say, no, I don't know of anybody, but we've been thinking about it. So that's one option. Here's the other option, is that you actually just door knock your area and you put together some kind of gift to give people that identifies your realtor, you're in the area. But one of the gifts that I would offer is a free over-the-phone market analysis. And here's how that works, and I'm going to finish up our call because it's right at 12 o'clock. But the free over-the-phone market analysis is a really non-threatening way to do a CMA. And here's how it works, Marianne. You create your own little certificate on your desktop computer, print it out in color. Free over-the-phone market analysis. Answer a few questions over the phone and get an idea how much your house is worth in today's market. The idea is, Marianne, that over the phone you would ask the homeowner about bedrooms, baths, styles, all that stuff. Now, during the conversation, you're building rapport. You know, so how many bedrooms do you have? How many? Oh, yeah. How long have you lived in the neighborhood? Oh, yeah, isn't that great? How many kids? I got a kid, too. So it's really about building rapport on the first call while you're getting the information about the house. Are you still with me, Marianne?
Yes.
After that, you're going to say to the homeowner, now, Mrs. Hanahana, what I need to do is I'm going to take the information you gave me about your property, and I'm going to go to the computers and do that market analysis for you. I should have it prepared and done by tonight. Can I call you back tonight and give you that number? And they'll say yes. You call them back, and you'll say, Marianne, hi, this is Darryl. I put together the information. It seems like your house is worth somewhere between $400 and $475. Now, I know that's a pretty big spread, $75,000, but for me to get a more accurate number, I would need to physically see the inside of the house. And if you'd like, I don't mind. I can find the time when I can come by. I can give you a more accurate number. Plus, I have some other things I can drop off for you about selling your house and some other bonuses that I give to my sellers, reports and stuff. And would you like me to do that? So that's the concept of over-the-phone CMA. It really is a non-threatening way to do it, give them a ballpark idea of the price. Plus, when you call them back the second time, to actually get in the door, go through the house, and actually sit down and start a listing conversation. So what you could do, Marianne, is also offer that on the telephone, or when you door knock, you can give them the certificate that I mentioned earlier you created on your computer. You say, I'm just stopping by. You know, we're finding that there's going to be a lot of activity this first quarter in the neighborhood. I'm just introducing myself to the neighbors, offering a free over-the-phone market analysis for anybody who's thinking about selling. This is going to be a great time. Market is strong, and so I just wanted to give you this gift. The homeowner says, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Then you'd say, Marianne, by the way, can I ask you how long have you guys lived in the neighborhood? What do you like best about the neighborhood? What do you think is the biggest selling feature? Now, when you had this builder, what style did you get? How long, have you ever thought about moving? If you were going to move, where would you move to? Have you ever had a market analysis done on your property? Why don't I do this? I don't mind. I'd be more than happy to give you that over-the-phone market analysis if you like. You know, I can call you back and get some more information. Okay. Did you get all that, Mary Ann?
Yeah, I'll be listening to this call again.
All right, good. So I've given you several things. Call the FSBOs, call expireds, door knock, offer value, CMA, packages. The most important thing, gang, is that I can say to all of us on this call is that whatever you do, always have it be a reason to ask more questions. A lot of us are not good at asking questions because we're afraid we're going to have somebody say no to us. So if you door knock and you're just introducing yourself, great, but don't stop there. While they're in front of you and you've done that, you've introduced yourself, then just ask them a little question like, by the way, how long have you guys lived in the neighborhood? They'll answer you. What do you like best about it? They'll answer you. Have you ever thought about moving? Now, if they tell you now's not a good time, well, fine, at least you tried. Don't ever not try and ask questions to dig deep to find business. All right, so we have gone a few minutes over our call. I'm going to just say this last thing here. Gang, there's some really great visuals in this month's magazine. So go through the magazine, and as I said, I'm going to ask you all to be patient with me because I'm going to try and do a webinar. We're going to take this, instead of going to the telephone, go to the webinar, because then I can go over visuals, you can see it. If you're not in front of a computer, you can still hear the conversation just like you did here, but I think me doing the webinar, if I can make it work for us, it'll be a more valuable experience for you, which is what I want to do. So, all right, gang. So the last thing I'm going to say is don't forget, you know, 2015, remember what I said at the beginning of the call, come from a place of possibility. Be excited about your business once again. Set your goals. Stay focused on it. Create visuals to help you stay focused. And the last thing is don't forget, or two last things, don't forget that we don't just listen to sell real estate. We actually help help people move from point A to point B in their life. What we do is actually help change people's lives. So the more people you help, the more money you make. And the last thing I'm going to say is don't forget to always keep smiling. All right, gang, thank you very much. Happy New Year. I look forward to working with you the rest of this year to help you in 2015 be great. All right, gang, take care.
Thank you, Daryl. Take care.
Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye. Bye.